Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast talking about Days of Our Lives. And Carrie, are you there? Are you unmuted? Hello? Carrie, are you there?
I muted myself again.
What? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There you are. I was like, hello?
Yeah, I started talking. I'm like, why is she talking over me? Because she told me to start the show, and I was...
and I couldn't hear anything. We're so professional around here, aren't we?
I swear to God, I thought about buying a Samsung, but obviously I just can't handle it. So, I'm going to have to go back to my flip phone for the show. I never mute myself on the flip phone. Yeah, this is Carrie, and I'm a lot smarter on Twitter, so follow me at Diva Dole. I'm stuck with phones, that's all. I'm fine with Twitter on my laptop.
I'm still cracking up because there's like dead silence, and I'm like, okay, I guess I better start.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for covering for me. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm having issues with my laptop, but once I get it going again, I'll start updating the blog. That's my main problem. I can't update the blog right now. But but there's still a lot of great stuff on there. So go to divaofdual.com. We have an e-newsletter that you can sign up for. There's a Google Plus page. Lots of cool stuff on there. There's a lot of news this week, so we'll have to get to that. Facebook, Diva Days, and the friend page is Diva Days of Our Lives. And if you go to the friend page and click on contest, we have a contest that you can win Dieter Hall's book called How Does She Do It? It's a beauty book, and I read it. It's my book. It's a great book. I recommend it. And when you get to the contest page, you have to hit like, and then you just fill in your name and your address, and you're automatically submitted. And that that contest is up Monday morning, so you don't have much time to go over there and do that. So yeah, please go over there and do that. And I'm going to try to weekly, well, once I get my computer up and running correctly, try to do a weekly contest. So, because I have a lot of stuff to give away. This is a good way to do it. Follow us at Blog Talk Radio and our iTunes page. You can subscribe to us there. You won't miss any shows. So, and don't forget to follow Anna on Twitter at Cosy Hooch. Marianne's at Mama _ Hooch. And follow our friends, the Hapkas, at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka. Go ahead, take away, Miss Anna.
I think you covered a lot there. All right.
I know.
Well, I'm trying to think. It was actually, I actually watched all 5 episodes this week. I actually watched the whole entire week. It's been a while since I've managed to do that. So Kate had some good scenes this week.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on a couple of episodes. And so we're going to have the Kate report, of course. And she was called as a witness at Sammy's trial, and she was actually trying to do right by Sammy. She wasn't trying to fry her this time, I should say. Kate has had a history of trying to get Sammy killed, but that's a story. But she was actually, I think, genuinely trying to, you know, help her out. But, of course, the more than savvy, over enthusiastic special prosecutor managed to box Kate into a corner, and she ended up having to admit that Nick had told her that he had been threatened by Sammy with a gun before. So it started out good, but it went downhill fast. So Kate, you know, she testified, and kind of pretty much everybody that's testified so far has, you know, done more harm than good, as the U-verse description every day says. I've been reading the things for what's coming up the next day, and it'll be like, Rafe testifies for Sammy, but he does more harm than good. Kate testifies for Sammy, but she does more harm than good. Seems to be a theme. So basically, Sammy's looking really, really bad right now. But the plus of all this is we're getting to see a lot of Justin and a lot of EJ, which is nice. So I would like those two together. But anyway, so Kate testified, and then she had some scenes with Rafe, and but the cutest thing was on, I think, Wednesday's show, was it? She went over to Will and Sunny's place, and she held the baby almost the entire episode. She went over there, and they were trying to run off because they had to go, I think they had to go to court, and so, or something. I think they had to go chase down Nick, I think was the, where they were headed. So they left Ari with her, and so she held the baby the whole episode. She was there at their place, and she's like, you know, I really want to take Ari to see her Uncle Rafe when he gets back from testifying, because I think she knew he was going to need an upper because it was going to be rough, you know, and he was going to be worn out and everything and emotional from testifying. And so I thought that was sweet that Kate, the right loving fan in me, was really pleased that she was so worried about him. And so she said, do you mind if I take the baby to the hospital to take her to Rafe? I'm like, no, sure, go ahead. So she's headed out the door with a diaper bag and everything. Of course, the practical side of me was like, I wonder if she has a car seat. Oh, but anyway, but she was headed out the door, and Maggie shows up. And Maggie apparently had scheduled to come to by to visit, and she brought lemon bars or something. And something Maggie-ish. But anyway, she came by, and court case, Kate was completely perturbed that Maggie had shown up. And we were discussing before the show why that was. And I think part of it is she just doesn't really like Maggie all that much. But also, I think she was just really anxious to surprise Rafe with the baby and kind of lift his spirit. So I think she was kind of irritated that Maggie showed up. And so then you know, Maggie said, oh, that's okay. I'll just hang out with you for a while and play with the baby. And Kate's like, oh, brother, you know. So just what I want to do, spend the afternoon with her. So so she's hanging out there. The next thing you see Kate, you know, eating the crumbs off her napkin from the lemon bar. So she's sitting there eating a lemon bar. And Maggie's yapping. And she finally just says, look, I got to go. So she basically takes Maggie there. That was kind of funny. She's like, look, I got to get going. So then she takes off to the hospital, and she goes over there, and she brings baby Ari into Rafe, and it just made him beam. He was so cute. And Ari is adorable. And it was so funny. At one point, she held on to Kate's finger the whole time, I think. And at one point, she's like, Kate's making her wave and stuff. So it was so cute. It was just, oh, it was adorable. Kate with small children. Mm-hmm. We Kate fans love that because we, you know, she just, it's just, it softens Kate, you know. It shows that maternal side of her and everything. And it brings out a little bit of Lauren. There's always a little bit of Lauren that shows up when she does things with little kids. So we have a fun time with that. But anyway, so. And I noticed that Ari and Gabby were color-coordinated. They were both wearing yellow. So, Rose, that's a shout-out to you for the fashion report. And so, let's see. So basically, you know, they talked a little bit about the case and all that. But I think Grace was just really touched that she brought the baby by. And, of course, Jordan was boring as usual. And I don't know. Oh, in fact, Kate had a good line when Jordan said, okay, well, I'll leave right now or something like that. And the way she said it was really boring. And Kate, as she was leaving, Kate says something about her people skills. I thought that was cute. She's obviously not paid for her people skills or something like that. It was funny. So we got to see some Kate, but trying to think. Is that about it with Kate? They had she had the scenes with Sonny and Will, and the baby and Rafe.
Did you mention that she testified that Sammy pulled a gun on Nick?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Right away. Mm-hmm. That's how they got tipped off to that. So then, of course, they rush and, you know, they subpoena Nick to testify. So pretty much it's getting worse and worse for Sammy every day. So I keep thinking, what's going to come up, you know? I can't figure out how this whole $100,000 that was deposited into the account. What I don't get is all they have to do is go back and find one of little Timmy's deposit slips from a month ago before this money was deposited, and it shows that he doesn't have the money in there. So I know that forensically they've figured out a way to make it look like it was always there, but it still, like, doesn't really make sense. But anyway, what they really need to do, which EJ should have done, is hired somebody to figure out where Bernardi was putting the real money that he was getting from Stefano. So any speculation on how Sam is going to get out of this situation? I don't pay attention to spoilers anymore, really, so I don't really know what's ahead there. But, we know she gets out. We know that she gets freed. But I'm just kind of curious how all this is going to end. I have to admit it's been pretty good. It's been a pretty good week, I think, overall.
It was in the promo that EJ gets desperate and goes to Stefano.
What's that?
EJ gets desperate and goes to Stefano and asks for Stefano's help.
Oh, crap.
Yep.
I hate that.
Which was, I thought that was obvious because I was talking to a Jammy fan on Twitter about it. I'm like, I think Stefano's going to be the one who gets Sammy out of this. And they're like, oh, no way. No, EJ wouldn't go to Stefano. Yeah, he would. So if Stefano's really the only one who could fix the situation, you're like, well, you know, what can he do without incriminating himself? I'm like, well, he's Stefano. He can figure something out. You know, I'm sure he can find a way to plant evidence on Bernardi, you know, one way or other without making himself look bad. So it's definitely to the rescue if he decides to do it. But I think it's going to cost him, it's going to cost EJ quite a bit, though. So I think, you know, Stefano's going to get his job back and he's going to get his house back, so, which is the way it should be. He shouldn't be hanging out in the club with his girl all the time. That's boring. So I'm actually hoping Stefano wins. I'm hoping Stefano wins. I hope he does, you know, turn the screws on EJ. But, it's silly and diplomatic because we know Sammy's going to get out of it. We see them tweeting pictures of her.
Obviously not
in prison. So, to me, it's not that climatic other than how she's going to get out of it. That's really the only thing to me.
I'm typing in the chat room. I'm obviously not multitask.
That's okay. I know, it's hard. People don't understand how hard it is. It really is. I'm usually in the chat room on Twitter and then, you know, you have to look for calls, and then if you don't get a caller in immediately, then they get mad. And it's like, well, sorry, I have three other things to do right now.
Well, we've got Kenneth's in the chat room now, and I think I was trying to keep up. There's all kinds of good General Hospital discussion going on there. I have to go back and catch up. But we've got a guest who I have not seen their name yet. And then there's JC Soapfan, who's new to Blog Talk. So welcome. Glad you joined us tonight. And then I think it's Jan. Is that Jan in there? And then Jennifer. So, yeah.
Hey.
So, yeah, I think think they're having a really good discussion in there, and I can't keep up with it, so I'm going to have to go back and read some of it. But anyway, but yeah, so, you know, I'm curious. I don't remember if we talked about this last week. Did you see the thing about Guy Wilson?
Yeah.
Being the new Will? Was it Guy Wilson?
Yes.
Is that the name?
Yeah.
So is that confirmed? Because somebody in the chat room, I think JC Sofan was asking about that, if that was confirmed.
It is confirmed. He confirmed it on Twitter.
Okay, so yes. Okay, so it is confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good deal. So, yeah. So do we think Gabby's going to get a job modeling in London or Paris? Is that where she's headed? Because Nick's looking for jobs for her modeling, and since we know Camilla's leaving the show in December, I'm assuming she's going to get some sort of faraway job in Switzerland, London, or Paris, or Africa. Those usually are the popular places that people from Dave's go when they leave the show. So, and then let's see, what else? Oh, we got to talk about the jammy letters. And I mean, I'm so sad that Marianne's not here tonight to talk about that, because she would really do a great job with that. But
yeah.
I did notice at the end of that episode, I went back and I thought, I bet you anything, because you know I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to the writers. I was like, I bet you anything Melissa Sammons wrote that episode, because she always... She's the one. She's the go-to. She must really love Ejammy in real life, because she is the go-to girl for Ejammy episodes. I've noticed whenever they have like hot, steamy Ejammy sex or a good fight or something like that, or they're talking about their history and stuff, seems like Melissa Sammons is the one that's writing this last year or so, yeah, or maybe 8 months, 8 or 9 months. And sure enough, Melissa was the one that wrote that episode. But all you Jammy fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. The letters that EJ and Sammy wrote to each other. You know, I've always been kind of a fence sitter when it comes to Sammy's pairings. I like Lumi. I like Jammy. I even liked Safe in the beginning, although I didn't after a while. But so, you know, I kind of like things for different pairings for different reasons. But I have to admit, those were pretty awesome letters, and just really, I know they touched me, and I haven't even been like a diehard, longtime Jammy fan. I've kind of been lukewarm over the years, but if it touched me, I can imagine that there were a lot of Jammies out there that were swooning for days after that episode aired. Melissa did a great job writing it, and Angela, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so, you know, that was pretty cool. They basically, did EJ give her a card first, and then she wrote a letter back, right? Because he
wrote
letters from the kids. I thought that was cute, too, and she opens it up, and she's like, Sydney, you'll never be my artist, or you'll never be an artist, or something. It was so cute. But anyway, so EJ wrote her a letter, and then she wrote him one back. And, oh, man, those were classic. I mean, I know those will go down in Ejammy history as being probably some of the top downloaded, rewatched, watched over and over again, swooned over, cried over episode of their history. So happy for them for sure, and it was fun to see. Makes it all the more agonizing that Sammy's in jail like that. Just so sweet when they brought her kids to her last week. I think it was the week before last. Let's see. What else happened this week? Oh, Stefano being an ass, as usual. I'm just to the point, I used to love Stefano. I used to love to hate him. Now I just can't stand him most of the time. I don't know. He was on. Oh, you want to talk about... you want to take over the Nicole Marlena Kristen saga towards the end of the week?
Yeah, because we know how much you love Kristen. So.
What's that?
We know how much you love Kristen.
Yeah, I figured you might want to.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
It was.
Yeah. Basically, in the beginning, Eric, not Eric, I get them confused because Eric Martzoff and Eric Brady. Brady asked Nicole, like, oh my God, I am sober. Brady asked Kristen to do the pre-canna, and she didn't want to do it. So she goes barging off to the rectory to tell Eric that he's going to tell Brady that he's not going to do the pre-canna for them. And Eric's kind of surprised me. He's like, well, if Brady wants to start off his marriage in a religious way, I can't say no to him. And he then he kind of butters her up and says, oh, you're still good with the kids and blah, blah, blah. And he kind of talks her into doing the pre-canna thing, which is kind of funny. So we're getting around about the wedding, and Victor finds out about the pre-canna thing. And so he made a comment that Eric's as much of a dumbass as Brady is. So he calls up Marlena, and that was off screen. She wasn't there, and told her what was going on. And then Nicole gets mad that Eric's decided he's going to do the pre-canna for him. So Nicole goes over to Victor's, and Victor's absolutely refusing to work with her. And, oh, no, they met at the club. That's what it was. And he made these jokes like, oh, don't you have someone to watch your cute and stuff like that? Because Nicole had Jan watch your cute Victor during the Salem Stalker storyline. But, of course, he wasn't really dead. So he insults her and she leaves. And then he calls Marlena and tells him it. Marlena obviously needs help, but she has no clue what the hell she's doing on getting Kristen. So Nicole passes Marlena at the square, and Marlena says to her, basically, shut up and listen. And the next thing we know, Nicole's walking around the square with a mimosa and pretending to be drunk, and she sees Kristen. And I thought at first that Kristen had a green phone in her hand, and actually it was just a really big-ass ring that she had on her finger. It was just so freaking big, I thought it was a phone. And she drops her purse. I mean, for real, I'm like,
I thought it too,
work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something, maybe is that just an error, you know? But no, I thought maybe she did have the phone in her hand, and it was an error instead of this big ring. This Marlena's big, Victor's plan for Marlena was to get a flash drive and attach it to Kristen's phone, and it would download everything onto the flash drive. So I don't know if that would work or not. Or I guess it would. I guess if you have that little port there, I guess it would work. I don't know. So obviously I'm not good with phones, so I'm not going to be trying that anytime soon.
So my question is, did the jump drives get switched? Does Marlena have the Eric Kristen rape scenes on hers, and Kristen has Victor's jump drive that has the ability to pick stuff off the phone? You know, when Marlena was grabbing it, did she grab the wrong one?
Yeah, that's the whole thing that was kind of confusing. I couldn't figure out what the hell Marlena was doing. It looked like she couldn't get the cap off of the flash drive.
I know, it was funny. It was like cracking me up.
I mean, it's like, how hard is that?
I know. Well, I have to admit, the very first time I ever got a flash drive, I didn't know what the hell to do with it either. I kept trying to stick it. This is a long time ago, but I was trying to stick it in. I'm like, how does this thing work? But, I mean, I would have thought that Marlena would know that by now. So.
Yeah, you would think, but you never know. It's Marlena. So, yeah, so that was pretty odd. So we don't really know what the heck she was doing. But then Marlena and Nicole, then Kristen catches Marlena with her purse. And it was funny. So Nicole starts accusing Marlena of stealing because her billionaire husband left her. And I thought that was kind of funny.
That was pretty. So Nicole was great. I didn't like the way Marlena dissed her at the end, though. That kind of sucked. I thought it would have been funnier if they would have been, like, giggling afterwards. Or, I mean, I understand that they shouldn't have been seen together. But I think that would have been fun. I mean, I felt sorry for Nicole. I was like, damn, Marlena was kind of cold to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was funny, though. It was a nice opportunity, yeah, team for them to insult each other. But there's really no reason for Marlene and Nicole really to like each other. Just, you know, they never did in the past. Marlene didn't want Nicole, you know, with Eric and everything. So so Marlene tells Nicole later, I didn't get what I wanted accomplished. And so Nicole goes and picks another fight with Kristen. This time Kristen throws down her purse and puts Nicole in a chokehold, which is pretty funny. Oh, by the way, Nicole's hair is looking much, much better.
Oh, I know. I just put that in the chat room. I thought that her new haircut was really cute.
Yeah, and I like the color better, too. Sorry, my ADD's kicking. But the trend still is for women with longer hair to have brown hair and just have the blonde tips.
Uh-huh.
And but they were doing that with Nicole, and it looked kind of dumb. So her hair is too short. So it just kind of looked like she needed a color of hair, you know. It just didn't work out. So, but, yeah, so her cut's real cute. And so Merlin gets the purse, and I don't know exactly what Merlina was thinking, but when she's in the pub, she's like, I'm going to give this drive to Victor. But I'm not sure if she was thinking that maybe she was successful, or maybe she was thinking she's just going to return it because she wasn't successful, or, you know, wasn't exactly sure what she was getting at. So, and then, and then Nicole said, you know, what's wrong with everybody? All women say I'm either sanctimonious or a slut or both. And both Nicole and Marlena looked at Kristen. Like, you know.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was a pretty funny insult. It was pretty cool. And then back at the pub, Nicole's like, you know, why don't you tell me what's going on? And did you accomplish the goal? And Marlena's like, I'm not working with you. I'm not confiding with you. You're not trustworthy. You have impulse control issues. And she just wasn't going to share. And so Nicole wasn't too happy about it.
I just felt kind of sorry for Nicole. She was in it all the way. You know, it was like, hey, she's willing to, like, be choked by Kristen and everything. And it's like, well.
Yeah, it just seemed like, that Nicole was just kind of a tool that she was just used by Marlena and, you know, and then kind of discarded. So Marlene's like, oh, well, you just jumped in and did it, and you didn't even want to know what the whole thing was about. And it's like, well, what are you complaining about? She did it. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand Nicole's point of view because, you know, I don't mind, you know, sticking it to people once in a while. If someone told me to go stick it to someone that I didn't like because they needed a distraction. I mean, I probably wouldn't ask any questions either. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do it too.
Uh-huh.
So I can understand Nicole's point of view. I think, you know, like not ask questions at the beginning, ask questions after it was over. But, you know, maybe that's just me. So, yeah, so Marlena has a flash drive and Kristen still has a flash drive. And we don't know who has which flash drive. And we don't know if Marlena knows if there's anything on it or not. So that's how it ended up. The whole thing was pretty funny.
Yeah. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you didn't watch
Brady, I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, so all Brady, I mean, everyone has a cell phone yet. I mean, I know for the show they have to be able to appear, you know, with each other in scenes, but it just cracks me up. I'm like, you know, Brady's in charge of this multi-billion-dollar company, and all he's doing is walking back and forth between Eric's office and the town center, and, you know, it just seems like he, you know, I kind of miss the days when Mardar were there where they had, I mean, I like some of what's going on now, finally, because it's been really hard for a while. But I really liked it when they had a lot of the business stories, and they aren't really doing much on that right now. So it just kind of seems weird to have these people that are in charge of these multi-billion-dollar companies that aren't ever at the office and hardly ever talk about business.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's kind of funny. But I think it's, you know, funny that, you know, too, that they're doing the pre-Cana and all that with Eric. And I guess, are they trying to set it up to make it look like Nicole's the one that did the deed with Eric? Is that what we're leading up to? Because it's Matt told her, try to get him not think about it, not talk about it. He needs to not dwell on it. So when he brings it up to her, she's like, we just don't need to talk about it. You know, let's just stop talking about it. She's trying to help him get over it. But I think he's starting to think that she has something to hide. That's what I'm picking up on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because she's acting guilty, yeah.
Yeah, she's acting kind of guilty. So I'm thinking that he's going to start thinking, he's having these flashbacks, obviously, in bed with somebody. I think he's going to start thinking that he had sex with her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think everybody kind of assumed that was going on. That's the way that the whole thing was going. Everybody kind of assumed that was where they were headed with that storyline. Which, too, if they do end up having a whodunit with Kristen as a victim, then that would kind of throw Nicole and Eric into the mix eventually. Like, Nicole's going to be mad at this, you know, she was blamed for a rape she didn't commit, and Eric will be mad because he was the one that was raped, and blah, blah, blah. So, I can see that shaking out in the storyline. The suspect is already involved. You get Victor, and you got Marlena, and probably Brady somewhere down the line too. So, yeah, I think what we're all thinking, especially when Nicole's the only one we know who was at the scene, that Eric knows was at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what I can't figure out is why can't they get security cameras from the hotel? I mean, there's always security cameras in the hallways and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that just seems to be really simple, you know, like, come on, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really didn't make any sense to me either. Yeah, and that too, I mean, that storyline is dragging on forever. It just seems like they're just stalling now. I mean, can't they have Eric and Nicole do something different for a change? If Eric saying, I have to find out what happened. I mean, like, what, 3 times this week he asked Nicole to talk to him about it, and she said no. It's like, really, didn't he hear the conversation again? And then Friday he asked her to go to the hotel, and she said no. And she's not making
all evasive,
yeah.
So I think he thinks that she's got something to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
I don't know. But I'm trying to think what else. And Adrian coming back, trying to redeem herself some by, you know, saving the day and all, thinking that maybe Justin can forgive her, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm just dying for the day when finally, Bernardi's real sins are revealed, and somebody gets to stick it to Marge. Ugh, she's insufferable. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, pound her. I'm trying to think what else happened. Sierra and Brady were cute together. That was so cute.
Oh, that's
right. He's so adorable with her. The little kid in him comes out, in Eric Martzoff comes out when he's in scenes with her. They're so adorable. I don't know. They're so cute. But she seems to really like being in scenes with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hope wasn't on at all this week, was she?
No, she wasn't. I didn't even notice.
Let's see. Could care less about Teresa. Teresa's just worried about saving her own skin at this point, as always,
actually. Yeah, she found out JJ got arrested, and she's freaking out if he was going to turn her in, which is, that really doesn't what happens. When they catch someone dealing, they don't ask who the buyers are. Cuffs really don't care about that type of thing. So,
they don't care about what?
they don't care who the buyers are. You know, if they're going to get JJ, they're going to ask him where he bought the drugs. They're not going to ask him who he sold to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's usually how.
My thing is, I mean, I will say this. Now, I have not been a Jennifer fan for a while because I'm really sick of Danifer, and I think they are on way too much. And anyway, everybody knows how I feel about them. But I will say this. I thought some of the dialogue, or really more or less monologues, that she had this week were kick-ass, I must say. I thought that the things that she was finally looking like a parent that's had enough, that I just thought they were very well written. And I think it just kind of made up for all the months where she's looked like a fool, you know. And I like how she, like, put everything together. She started piecing all of it together, and all those things came back. And I'm sure people who've been through that can relate, too. They want to think the best of their kids, you know. And then all those little doubts they had, but they stuffed them because that's their kid, come back, you know, to the surface when they're confronted with the reality of it. It's like, I just thought some of those scenes were real. I got to, even though she's not my favorite character these days, I have to give it to the writers and to her as an actress. Those scenes were really good where she was basically, there were some scenes at the police station and some scenes at their house that I thought were really strong. And so I got to give kudos to the writers and to her for that. I mean, to me, JJ still is not, I don't know. I just see nothing salvageable or I see nothing really of him, to be honest. But the way they're writing him, he really has no redeeming qualities. He doesn't give a crap, really, about anybody but himself. And, I'm just glad that Jennifer saw through him finally, and she saw the BS. The BS meter went off the charts when he was having Rory try to cover for him and everything. And I thought those were good scenes, too, where she's looking at him like, I know you, little turkey. I know what you're doing, you know. I thought that was all. I mean, I have to admit, considering I've spent a lot of time fast-forwarding through that scene and through Jennifer, I have to admit I watched more of the scenes this week because, you know, I got to give them credit. They were pretty compelling. I don't know. For a story that I haven't been at all invested in, I thought they did a good job on this week's stuff. So.
It was pretty good. And she really didn't take any crap from him at all and wasn't buying anything he was saying. And, you know, trying to blame stuff on Daniel and blah, blah, blah. And he's just completely unrepentant. I mean, you know, you got busted. You know, you've been lying for 6 months. You know, when exactly is he going to repent? And the big fight was she wanted his cell phone, which makes perfect sense because that's how he's dealing and meeting with people.
Heck, she paid for it. She can just shut it off.
That's what cracks me up is that parents have that issue all the time. I'm like, hello, you bought the cell phone, you paid for the minutes. Because I hear parents complain, oh, they went over their minutes and they cost me all this money. It's like, well, take the damn phone off of them. I mean, it's not like it's rocket science, you know. I mean, I'm the only parent I know that my 12-year-old doesn't have a cell phone and my 8-year-old doesn't have a cell phone. Because my 8-year-old, his friends last year in second grade had cell phones. And my kids would want to have a cell phone. I'm like, they're boys, so I'm like, you don't call anybody. You don't see your cell phone.
Right.
You know,
you don't like to talk on the phone when I make you talk on the phone. Why would you want a phone? Yeah. But the thing is, can't she just go? I mean, can't you go and look at the bill and look at the can't you track who they've talked to via the online? I mean, she wouldn't have to have the physical phone to figure that out, would she? I mean, to see the conversations, she would, but can't she see the phone numbers from the bill?
Yeah. You would think so.
That part, I was kind of like, so what? And he thinks he's going to get away with this? All she has to do is call and cancel his phone.
Right.
To take him off the plan. I mean,
right.
Really? I mean, I just thought that was kind of, you know. I wish they had thrown that in. Well, fine then. If you won't give me the phone, I'm calling right now and I'm canceling your service, taking
yeah.
you off my plan. I mean, that
yeah,
would have been,
okay.
you know.
That would have been common sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Kenneth in the chat room saying he's having Vargas withdrawals. Aren't we all, Kenneth? Aren't we all? So
yeah.
sad. I mean, they even indirectly mentioned him in the trial on Friday with Nick's testimony, and I was like, "Where, Vargas? Where?"
Yeah, that's what was funny that they mentioned him, but they didn't say his name. And the only reason I could think of, because that doesn't make sense in court. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy you got the $30,000 from, didn't he just get arrested for drug dealing? And it's like,
yeah.
That wouldn't happen in court. You would say,
I know.
Who'd you get the money from? What's his name? And blah, blah, blah. Well didn't
yeah.
blah, blah, blah just get arrested? You wouldn't
right.
vaguely talk about
it. Yeah.
They
didn't even
yeah,
want to remind
jury,
us that Vargas is out there because he's so awesome that we'd start begging them again to bring him back.
Yeah, that's what did they not want to mention his name, or did they think they couldn't mention his name because he doesn't have a first name yet? So you can't just say, you know,
yeah,
so it would
have been funny, though, if they just said Vargas. It's just Vargas.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, there's no way they can get away with just saying, oh, it's Vargas.
Yeah,
you know?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, like Vargas.
It's another missed opportunity.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was funny.
Oh, I think who else? Again, can't say enough how much I love seeing Wally Kurth on our screen.
Yeah,
love
that's
him.
Cool. I guess he's a shitty lawyer. I mean, he's almost Mickey Harden bad at this point, though. It doesn't help that EJ is... I'm working against him practically the entire time. But, yeah, he's just not a very good lawyer. I mean, you know, we haven't seen the defense yet, but, I mean, you can't put Sammy on the stand. So I'm curious on what kind of defense he's going to put on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because he's got to prove that Bernardi was dirty, but you have no one who could testify that he was dirty. And you have... no evidence. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how he's going to pull this off.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say something. I don't forget what it was. Oh, yeah. If you're done with that, we have Chad, Abby, and Cameron today, and that was still pretty boring.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
I do enjoy Chappy together. In fact, I actually thought they had chemistry when they were kissing on the couch this time. Whereas when
mm-hmm.
they first were together, I never really thought they had any chemistry. So I think they're adorable, but it's hard because you're sitting there going, I don't want to get invested because I know he's going to die or leave, one of the two. But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, Cameron's pressuring Chad to tell everybody about his diagnosis, and they had a cute scene with Theo where Chad was
boomerang.
In the park with Theo in the boomerang, and they're in the middle of the woods, which usually is not a good idea, throw a boomerang in the middle of the woods, and he threw it and it didn't come back. It's pretty funny.
Aww.
Yeah, and then Theo overheard one of them saying something about who's dying, and they asked who was dying, and they didn't tell him, and then Chad was over at the Horton house, and Abby was crying, and she was all upset because it was JJ's birthday, which, you know, I didn't see anywhere. Did anybody actually see if it was JJ's birthday?
I was wondering about that, if it really was.
Yeah. Remember, he was born in the jungle.
And he sure didn't get off easy, didn't he?
Yeah, Miss Small, he's a minor. The thing is, it would be a juvenile court. But,
yeah,
and he'd probably be sent to a, juvie hall. I mean, they're not sending him back to Salem High. There's just no way in hell the school board would let a even with a misdemeanor drinking back on campus. There's no way in hell that would happen. He would be expelled.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, yeah, you would think he'd serve at least some sort of a sentence at a juvenile detention facility. So, yeah, so he did get let off early for being 17 and spending. But yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I thought with the
Meowsily.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought with the Meowsily, I remember Jack was on the island in July. That was the first time we saw the island. And Jennifer came a little bit later. So, you know, JJ might have been born in August or September. I'm sorry.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's possible. Maybe I'll have to look on YouTube if it.
Oh, was that New State when they were on Malazawan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's born in the jungle.
I forgot that was when he was born. I only vaguely, I checked in and out on days back then. I watched in the 80s and then I stopped watching. But occasionally if I was on vacation or something, I'd check in and just kind of see what was going on. I remember them being on the island, but I forgot that JJ was born in Malazawan. Yeah, he's just kind of he's such a jerk. I don't know. I mean, I know it's just character and everything, but he's just such a jerk. And what was it that Jennifer, when she fell trying to get the phone, what was that all over her arm?
That was chocolate cake.
Oh, I couldn't see. I was looking at it from kind of far away. I couldn't hear what it was. I don't know. I thought she cut herself at first. I thought she cut herself off something. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else going on?
I forgot about JJ Worth. Chad Navi, Chad was thinking he was going to score, and then Jennifer calls, and that was that she's going to be coming home, and
yeah,
Chad's still waiting.
Oh, poor Chad.
Yes, he's never going to score. He just wants to have sex before he dies again, you know. That's all poor guy. You know, haven't got
poor Cameron, too. I keep thinking they're headed for Cameron and Gabby because Gabby seemed awfully excited when she realized that Abby and Cameron weren't together.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like she might be angling for him at some point.
Oh, you know, I think I did see spoilers on about Nick being jealous of Gabby and Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think they'd be cute together.
They actually had some chemistry when they had a scene, because Cameron just doesn't have, I've said over and over again, I liked the first Cameron with Abby. Mm-hmm. I thought they had instant chemistry. But I've just never seen the chemistry with this particular actor and her. But the scenes that he had with Gabby, I thought were adorable. So I could definitely go with that. I'd definitely go with the
mm-hmm.
Nick, Cameron, Gabby. I mean, for as long as it goes on since she's supposedly leaving. But So when does Guy Wilson make his? Now, was it Guy Wilson? Was it really Wilson? His last name? Because that's
mm-hmm.
pretty funny. Wilson, Sonny, Wilson, Will, and Sonny. That's kind of funny that his last name would be the same name as the couple name that he's coming into.
Yeah, he's coming on in January. No, he'll be on air in January, so he's filming now.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's another reason why that came out was Jen Lilly gave an interview, and when the host asked her, oh, what's it like starting a new character as opposed to being stepping in as a recasted character? And she's like, yeah, I'm really worried about Guy Wilson, who's taken over the role of Will Horton. So she totally
spilled the beans.
She totally let the beans out. I mean, she let out everything. So
yeah.
She figured if Dave wanted everybody to know, they would have told her by now who the actor was.
She has a habit of doing that.
Well, in the face, which is good though, this guy is a legit actor. I mean, usually, you know, Dave's been hiring a lot of models with no experience. You know, I have to say, I think Casey Moss is JJ. That was probably one of the best non-actors I've seen on the show. And I would come around.
Yeah, I mean,
that
he's
was
actually a pretty good actor. I mean, he's a pretty good actor. He just, the way they're writing his character, I just can't stand him. I mean, maybe that's the mark of a good actor. I don't know, but I just, you know. But, yeah. So Guy Wilson, what has he been in something we would know? I haven't looked at his bio or anything.
He did a lot of primetime shows. Like, guest on some primetime. And he played a gay character before. Yes, he had experience with that, too.
I mean, I'm going to miss Chandler Massey's Will, but, you know, it is what it is. So hopefully this new kid will come in and do a good job and, you know, let's see. But, and I don't know. I find that, this is a random thought, but I find that Cicely, Stefano's girl toy or whatever, I find her really annoying, but,
she doesn't talk, for Pete's sake.
I know.
She's not
so
like talking and bothering
you. Did you give her a Star Search model, spokesmodel contest from the 80s? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, she's a pretty girl, but it's just to me, it's so like, oh, really? I mean, but whatever. I mean, for years, Stefano went without a woman. Then he finally has Kate, and they're like such a great match. I mean, because when they were together, they were awesome. And, you know, I think he loved her on a lot of levels, and I think a lot of it was, too, she was his intellectual and devious match, or maybe that's not the right word, but she was his, she challenged him and made things interesting, because to Stefano, everything's a chess game. So you would think, I mean, you know, Marlena, even though he was obsessed with her, I mean, at least Marlena, you know, she's a doctor, she's got a brain, she challenges him, not that she was ever into him, but, you know, she was a challenge to him. You know, she was beautiful, but she also had these other qualities. Same with Kate. Kate's a beautiful woman, but she also has, you know, common sense, street smarts, intellect, banter, humor, you know, the whole bit. Cicely is basically, like I said, something out of a 1985 Star Search model contest, spokesperson contest. I mean, basically, she's like, you know, not really, I mean, I don't know, it's just the way they're writing her is just basically arm candy for him, or, you know, or trophy girlfriend for Stefano. And I personally don't see how, I mean, okay, sure, he's getting some, that's great, she's a young girl, whatever. But I personally don't think I think that's a little out of character, because I think Stefano would want to be challenged by the woman he's with, and he'd want to have someone he could play a emotional chess match with, as opposed to somebody who's just basically hangs on his every word, hangs on his arm, follows him, doesn't even speak unless spoken to, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I know it's just the writing for it, but for the character, but it just, to me, I think he's just doing it to piss Kate off.
Oh,
anyway, I don't know. But, so, I don't know. Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think so. Everything on my list. Oh, that you discussed that awful conversation between Race and Dan before he testified.
What? Go ahead and talk about that. I'm trying to say. I vaguely remember it, but
yeah. Race actually, I don't know why he did this. And he knew it would get Sammy and EJ in trouble, so I'm not sure why the hell he did it. He told Dan and Jordan, oh, yeah, EJ told me to lie and say that Bernardi was shady when he wasn't. It's like, why would he say that to anybody? That's just,
oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
It's
idiotic.
Like,
you're right.
I know Race. I know Ray's upset he doesn't think he testified that great and helped Sammy that much. I don't think so. I think Ray thinks if he can't have Sammy, he wants her to fry or he wants her in prison. He doesn't seem like to me he gives a shit about her at all whatsoever. Because he would never say that. If he cared about Sammy so much, he would never say that EJ asked for him to lie. Never. He would never tell people that. And then he's like, no, I won't lie about that. But if it's okay, though, to lie that Nicole's baby was mine and not EJ's. Because you can see what type of man he is, and you know, a baby shouldn't have him as a father, and him and Tender, like, yeah, that baby was still alive, you know, Rafe would probably still be the father, you know, and Daniel would be helping Nicole raise it and all that stuff. And it's like, did you guys not learn anything? Stop lying. Stop saying you're the baby daddy when you're not the baby daddy. I mean, it's like he totally forgot what happened with Gabby, Will, and Nick. They did the same damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, and
of course, he was in a coma, so maybe we can blame it on that.
Oh, my God. It's like, oh. Because he admitted, oh, you know, maybe it was his fault that Gabby went along with Nick's idea of Nick claiming paternity. You know, it's like, yeah, well, it's part of your damn fault, but you're a bad role model for your little sister. You're terrible. It's like, oh, my God. I just can't believe a year later, Rafe is still unrepentant about trying to keep a baby that died
mm-hmm.
away from EJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, EJ never
mm-hmm.
saw that baby. He didn't even see the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
He never saw that baby.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, and maybe if EJ was, you know, for sure it was his, maybe things would have turned out differently. You never know. Maybe him and Nicole could have reconciled, and Rafe and Daniel could have minded their own business for a change and left her alone. But I just wanted to smack them. I just wanted to smack them both. You both bragging
yeah.
about how you
think I'm
the baby
you,
was
Kate's there. Kate's the best thing that ever happened to Rafe because you know he's so different with her most of the time. He's been kind of
mm-hmm.
jerk to her a few times too, but. I can understand that a little bit if they're writing it as him trying to adjust to his new life and being frustrated and all. I mean, that's real. You take it out on the people you care about, but I don't like it when he's like, I don't want you basically meddling in my life kind of thing. That irritated the crap out of me. But you know, he's so much better with Kate than he has been with anybody, with any other scenario, because he's not quite as smug or... is, you know, I don't know. He
mm-hmm.
just, he comes off as kind of a jerk otherwise. But with Kate, he's kind of sweet, and they're funny together and stuff. So, man, I just, oh, so frustrating when I think of them breaking them up and stuff, and this Jordan being around, it's like, ugh. And that Jordan character, oh, my gosh. I mean, I know they're intentionally doing the, you know, Ugly Betty to the White Swan thing, you know, with her, but oh my gosh, I don't think I can stand it. I really can't. I mean, I'm biased anyway because I love Rate together, but I really cannot stand that character. It just grates on my nerves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really didn't do anything. I'm kind of surprised for people they had her wheeling Rafe around. That's like kind of not her job.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought that was weird too. But I think it was just to position her to be in scenes with him and to show that she's being supportive and blah, 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 because we're supposed to somehow think that, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just find it really annoying. So that's my 2 cents on that. But, anyway, so that's kind of all I can think of. I wish Marianne had been able to join us tonight. Well, maybe she can talk a little bit about Jamie next time, since I'm sure she loves
it. Yeah, there's probably plenty to talk about next week.
Did you pimp Bob Hapka and Amy Hapka?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Was that when you were muted? I don't remember hearing it. Maybe I just missed it. Yep. So anyway, I don't have anything else. Let me see if there's anything else in the chat room here. So more general hospital discussion. We should have an hour devoted to general hospital. General hospital is really good, by the way.
The ratings are really good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're. What were they? I haven't seen. I haven't paid attention to the ratings. But so is GH doing well?
They did really well in the demos. They had a record high for the new regime. I can't remember his name. I follow him on Twitter. I can't remember his name. Valentin. I can't remember his name. The guy who's in charge of General Hospital.
Cavallardi. Like that,
yeah,
or?
they reached a new high in I think 18 to 34 year old demographic for their reign. The days was up 200,000 from the week before, so they were up more than everybody else. But I think they had a bad week the week before anyway.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes. One week it's up, one week it's down. But days are still in fourth.
Well, that's, I've heard YNR is kind of sucking.
Yeah, but their new writing is going to hit in October. That's what's nice about YNR is that I think they're only a few weeks ahead. So when they fire the writers.
Oh, they fired the writers?
Yeah. They brought someone else in. And so their new stuff's going to be just in a few weeks.
Oh, they're just 2 weeks ahead?
Yeah, a few weeks. Everybody's seen that shit's pretty much a train wreck.
In the chat room, they're talking about Jordan being a ripoff of GH and Sabrina. Exactly. That's exactly what they did. And it's a totally different scenario, and it's not going to work. And it's because for one thing, Sabrina had a cute personality even when she was not looking as attractive or whatever. She still had a sparkle about her and everything, whereas Jordan, it's just like, who cares? At least so far, they haven't made me care. Nothing against the actress. She's a really sweet, I've heard she's a very sweet person, so nothing against Chriselle, but the character is just, from what I've seen so far, not been impressive at all. Plus, I think it helps on GH that Sabrina has Felix. Felix and Sabrina play off each other so well, and they're so funny and everything, whereas Jordan doesn't know anybody. She doesn't have anybody to talk to. She doesn't have anybody to play off of. But not that I want to give the writers any ideas, because I really don't care to see that character too much. But anyway, I guess if you don't have anything else, I think we can probably say goodbye for the night.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and thanks everybody in the chat room and on Twitter and everything. Nice seeing everybody. Welcome to the newer fans in the chat room. And, oh, Sarah just showed up. Just saw Sarah in there. Darn it. Sarah wrote a nice soapy poem. So I have to go check my Twitter. I retweeted it, at Kazi Hooch, and you'll see it. Dreamer of the Soap, Dreamer of Soaps, she tweeted something earlier today. So go check that out. And I guess we'll see you guys on Twitter until next week. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.